Now tonight we're going to talk about serving the Lord. And instead of reading one verse as a text at the beginning of our message, we're going to read several in succession. And so I'm going to let you remain in your seats. And we're going to begin at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse number 12. All of our verses this evening will deal with the topic of serving the Lord. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. What does God want from us? God wants to be loved. God wants to be feared. God wants to be served. And God doesn't want any half-hearted service. He doesn't want your lukewarm service. He wants wholehearted service. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Great churches are not built on spare time and pocket change. They're built on wholehearted service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Joshua 24. Very familiar. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And verse number 14. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in what? Sincerity and in truth. Does it matter how we serve the Lord? Yes, God wants us to serve Him according to the truth. And God wants us to serve Him with sincerity. Some people are not sincere. They come to church, but they're not sincere. As soon as they leave the property, they say all kinds of things about the church. When they're here, they act one way. When they're gone, they act another. God says, I want you to serve me with sincerity and in truth. Not a fake, a phony, and a fraud, but the real deal. So we're to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Notice verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you know, some folks think it's a bad thing to serve the Lord. Well, I grew up in church and I just got burned out on it. It's a lousy thing to serve God. Oh, I want you to know it's not an evil thing to serve the Lord. It's an evil thing not to serve the Lord. Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, you're going to serve one or the other. You're going to serve one or the other. You just have to choose who. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we should serve the Lord with all our hearts. We should serve the Lord with sincerity and in truth. We should serve the Lord in our families. We should teach our children and yes, even our grandchildren the importance of faithfully serving the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that doesn't mean you've got to be together every moment of service. My kids were serving the Lord all day today, and we were not together the whole time. I had kids on buses, I had kids at the piano, I had kids teaching Sunday school, I had kids helping in different ministries. You know, but the important thing is in our house, in our family, we serve the Lord. And Joshua said his family, his household would serve the Lord. Let's go to Psalm number 2. Psalm number 2. Psalm number 2 and verse number 11. Aren't you glad I didn't have you stand? Amen. Psalm 2. Now you may not believe this, but and I don't mean this critical, but Brother Smith, he'd have us stand sometimes for 30 minutes. Reading verses, commenting on them, praying over them. I think he forgot sometimes we were still standing. Psalm 2 verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear. What is that? That's a reverential respect. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. When we serve God, we ought to respect His holiness. I've said this many times. Teach your children. We're coming not into a necessarily maybe a sacred place, but it certainly is a spiritual place. And we're coming to worship the Lord together. And the church, you got to be careful that we don't become real familiar with the church auditorium because we're in it so much that we lose respect for the place we're at. And treat the church like we're running through Walmart or at the gymnasium instead of in the house of God. And we ought to serve the Lord with a reverential fear, and even our rejoicing ought to be tempered with a trembling because of the presence of a holy God. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And verse number 2. Psalm 100, verse 2. serve the Lord with gladness. Well, I mean, the Lord's told us we're to serve Him with all our heart. We're to serve Him in sincerity. We're to serve Him in the truth. We're to serve Him in our families. We're to serve Him with fear. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. Well, if I was just in the right situation, I'd be happy about serving the Lord. I'm sorry, but you ought to be happy about serving God wherever you are. And I'm glad the kids had a good time at camp, but I'm going to tell you something. You can be glad about serving God whether a guy's doing cartwheels or not. And I ain't doing any, so you're going to have to wait for a couple of years. And I'm glad we have special services and camps where the music is great, and boy, it really lifts us up into the heavens. But I tell you, just on a Wednesday night when there's 40, 50 people in the church, you can still serve the Lord with gladness. Because God deserves to be served with people that are happy about having the privilege of serving Him. Whether it's in a big camp meeting or whether it's in a small church, all that matters is we have a big God and we ought to serve Him with a joyful, glad heart because it's Him that we adore and not just the experience that we adore. So serve the Lord with gladness. Go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. By the way, I like the cartwheels too. Don't mistake my last point. Acts 20, verse 19. Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Serve God with a humble mind. You have to constantly beware of the intrusion of pride. Y'all with me? Diotrephes turned into Diotrephes because he got proud. Watch out for pride. He said, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind. God deserves to be served by humble servants. Serve Him with humility. Serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with fear. Serve Him with your family. Serve Him in truth. Serve Him with sincerity. Serve Him with all your heart. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse number 11. Romans 12 and verse 11. Right, Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business. You know what a sloth is like? Ever watched a video of a sloth? Some sloths live and die in the same tree. They never leave it. And a sloth moves like this. I'm not sure what came first, the word sloth or the animal. I don't know if someone said, look at that animal, it's a sloth. Or if someone said, look at that animal, it's slothful. But it sticks and it moves like this. And, you know, if you're in business, you're not going to last long in business moving like this. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, good things come to those who hustle. And the early bird may get the worm. I forget how the other part of it goes, but the second mouse gets the cheese, something like that. I'm not sure how that fit in. But we're to serve the Lord with, get this, fervency. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. That's the opposite of lukewarm. That means red hot, fervent. And God deserves to be served with some zeal and some enthusiasm. Because we're serving a wonderful and great God. Serve the Lord, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know, you'll never serve the Lord as long as you're serving idols. And a lot of Christians have things in their life that are more important than God is. God's way down. No, they say He's not. But if you're really to look at their checkbook and look at their schedule, you see God way down on their list of priorities. And it's important that you understand that we're not going to serve the Lord as long as we have idols. I bought some books for the boys. I'll give them later. A biography of Bobby Bonner. Anyone ever heard of Bobby Bonner? Bobby Bonner, this is years ago, but Bobby Bonner played in the major leagues for the Baltimore Orioles back in the late 70s, early 80s, and was part of the 1982 World Championship, World Champion team that had Cal Ripken Jr. on it. And Bobby Bonner got saved while he was a ball player, but he never put God first in his life. And later, through some series of events, he ended up basically out of baseball and started putting God first. And God called me a missionary to Africa, and he saw about 1 million people saved in Africa. And he said that years later, Cal Ripken Jr. invited him to a party to commemorate his induction to the Hall of Fame. And while he was there, his old manager came up to him. His manager had hated him because he was a Christian and had basically wrecked his career. And the manager didn't want to look him in the eye. And Brother Bonner stuck his hand out and said hello to him. He said, I'm surprised you even want to talk to me. I wrecked your career. He said, you didn't wreck anything. He said, that was God's will. He said, baseball had become my idol. And God took away the idol so that I could make Him God like He needed to be. Folks, it's all right to have things in your life, but when you make that an idol, don't be surprised if God one day takes it away. Put God first. Serve God, accept it. Serve God and not idols. One last verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. All right, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now, why did I read this verse last? Because the other verses we read tonight describe how to serve God acceptably. That means that some service is not acceptable. God wants to be served acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so He wants to be served Himself and not idols. He wants to be served with fervency, with humility of mind, with gladness, with reverence and fear. He wants to be served with our families, with truth and sincerity, and with all of our hearts. We ought to serve Him with sincerity and with reverence and godly fear. You know why I dress up for church? Because I like to. No. Because I want to show reverence to God. Do I like wearing a tie? No. I've got a 19-inch neck. Try finding shirts. I never button my tie. If that bothers you, it's bad. I can't breathe. I do not like wearing a tie, but I decided years ago that I'm not going to spend the rest of my ministry whining about having to wear a tie. I don't want to wear a tie. Grow up. It's part of my uniform. It's something I wear to show reverence for God. And so I tie the stupid thing and I wear it. And if they can wear it on ESPN, I can wear it in church. If the basketball players that are in street clothes can wear it on the sideline, I can wear it in church. And I tell you, we ought to show some reverence and some respect for God and for His work. And to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. One thing is certain, that we should serve the Lord. And another thing is certain, that God does not have as many servants busy as He should. It's like the song that He has many children, but they like to sit around His table. They don't want to work in His fields. And that's a crying shame that God has such a hard time getting help. And getting workers, and getting laborers, and getting servants, when He has so many children, but they lack a desire to serve the Lord. But I believe that in our church tonight, here on Sunday night, I believe that in our church there is a real desire, real heartfelt desire, among most of our members to serve the Lord. And I believe that you want to serve the Lord. I believe that you want to serve God acceptably. You know, this is one reason why our church has ministries. We don't just show up for church and sing a few songs and go home. We have ministries in our church for three reasons. Number one, to carry out the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or to baptize them, or to teach them what Jesus has commanded us. So the church has a mission. And all of our ministries ought to be ministries that help our church carry out the Great Commission. That's why we don't have knitting clubs and things like that. We have things that are designed to teach us the Bible and get us involved in ministry and serving the Lord and serving each other and winning souls to Christ. So number one is to carry out the Great Commission. Number two is to serve someone or to meet some need in the church. We have little kids in our church. They need to be ministered to. We have things in the church that need to be done. We have ministries that need leadership and need servants that take care of those ministries and people that need to be served and ministered to. And thirdly, to give people an opportunity to serve the Lord. For example, does a church have to have a children's church? No. Can it? Yes. Does it have to be forced? No. What is one reason we've had a children's church? Number one, for the bus kids who don't know how to behave. Number two, for the kids who come with their parents who don't know how to behave, so the parents can listen and get saved. But here's the third reason a lot of people overlook. Is to give other people an opportunity to minister. Now here's Brother Absher's been here for all these years. He doesn't need to sit and listen to me preach every service. He needs to be preaching as well. And so that was an opportunity for him to exercise his gifts and his leadership ability while he's ministering to others. So that's a very important reason. We have others who serve. We have people who serve in the choir. We have people that teach Sunday school. I could stand up and teach Sunday school. In fact, someone sent me a link to some church in the Northeast. They have family school. They don't have Sunday school, the age divisions. They just come in for one big class taught by one person. But I believe that God gives us gifts and God gives us stewardships inside the church. And I believe that there are many people that can be involved in teaching children on their levels and provide fellowship inside. But you know, there's some people that can't lift their kids outside their grasp for more than 5 minutes without thinking that the devil's going to snatch them and run away with them. I'll tell you something, there's plenty of people in our church that have been a blessing to my family and to my children and have taught them, and in fact, in many different age groups, have taught them much better than I would have been able to teach them at that age. I thank God for them. And I think that ministries are a great opportunity for people to not only to carry out the Great Commission or to help meet needs, but simply to serve the Lord. There are some things that aren't even an official ministry. There's no title attached. But they are opportunities that people seize in order to serve the Lord. You know, serving God is not our punishment. Serving God is our privilege. Serving God is not a favor to the pastor. Serving God is something you do for the Lord. Serving God is not a job. Serving God is an opportunity. And we and I ought to do it with gladness. But I want to speak to you now for just a few minutes. And what is it going to take to serve the Lord? Let me give you 6 things and I'll not be long. Number one, it will take time. It will affect your schedule. It will take time. It will affect your schedule. Serving God always takes time. All throughout the Bible, when God's people wanted to worship the Lord, they had to stop what they were doing, go somewhere, and spend time worshiping God. Serving God takes time. Back in the Ten Commandments, God had set aside 24 hours out of 168. For some reason, we read the Sabbath day, and we read, 2 hours Sunday morning. God set aside 24 out of 168 hours for Himself. One full day and one full night was a Sabbath day. And God set that time aside so the Jews would have to stop and worship God and think about God and be taught the Bible and meditate on God and stop focusing on making money and living in the world and focus entirely on the Lord Himself. Serving God takes time. Throughout the year, they would have to schedule entire weeks in order to travel to Jerusalem for feasts and ceremonies. Sometimes it might take 2 or 3 days to get there and 2 or 3 days to walk back and 3 or 4 days or a week there to observe the feast. Serving God takes time. Being faithful to church takes time. In Acts 2, it says they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Preacher, how often should we go to church? Every time the church is churching. The word church simply means assembly. When the church is assembling, the church is churching, you should be there. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, the church of Jerusalem, they were meeting every single day. Acts 5 says, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I believe in honoring God with our time. With our time. I even honor God with my vacation time. I know everyone's not going to do this, but when we go on vacation, we plan ahead, we go to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We go to Sunday school too. You know why? Because I don't need a vacation from God. I actually like God. It's like taking a vacation from my family. Well, my family, I need a vacation, and I don't need a family with me. And I don't have time for God either. But you know, we enjoy it. We see some interesting things, especially up in the mountains in North Carolina where they really preach. Boy, they preach. Peel the paint off the walls. You know why? Because as I'm teaching my children priorities, not just by what I say, but what I do, we ought to honor God. Well, forget vacation time. How about just your normal week? Do your kids have to ask you, Dad, are we going to church tonight? Or do they just know they're going to church? Is it set in stone or did you have it penciled in? Amen. So we're lacking today is any kind of conviction. We don't want any inconvenience in our Christian life. We're so lazy. We're so arrogant too. We just think we know it all, but we don't want to do anything. But you know, when we're serious about serving the Lord, we're going to be faithful to the house of God. We're going to serve God with our time. Everything takes time. I think that I do a pretty good job in keeping our services streamlined. We used to go to church. I mean, wasn't anything for church to take 2 hours per service. And extra meetings and practices and this and that. I'd say sometimes we wouldn't leave till 10 o'clock, and it wasn't that we were fellowshipping that long, it's just we were doing things that whole time. And I try to make sure we have time for fellowship, and on Wednesday night I want you to get home at a decent time because the kids have school and you've got work. But brother, listen, if you can't make time to go to church for 1 hour on Wednesday night, where is your Christian life? Where is your Christian life? That we can't set aside an hour or 2 hours, if with driving time, to simply be in God's house in the middle of the week. It's going to affect your schedule. Number two, it's going to take toil. It will affect your energy. It will take toil. It will affect your energy. Matthew 9, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. God needs laborers. Laborers. I remember we were watching Andy Griffith one night. And in Mayberry, USA. Perfect small town. And Andy, of course, went to the early morning service, so he's sitting on the front porch when everyone's walking by, and boy, the church lets out, and everyone's just kind of casually walking by, and everyone's so happy and at peace, and hi, howdy to everybody, and we're going to go home and get some fried chicken, and you know, just relaxing, the kids, you know, enjoying themselves. And I thought, that ain't how we go out of church, brother. We go out of church, get on a bus, drive the bus kids home, you know, eat at 2 o'clock, and so often, We have this idealistic idea what Joel Church is supposed to be, so relaxing and calm and peaceful. No, church is serving the Lord. And serving the Lord takes not only time, it requires toil. It's going to affect your energy. And when there's church work to be done, it's going to leave you tired. It's going to leave you drained. I was talking to a pastor friend recently. He said, well, everyone seems so tired on Sunday morning in the service. I said, well, think about how you feel after you preach. Are you tired after you preach? He said, yeah, I'm drained after I preach. He said, do you think your Sunday school teachers aren't drained after they've taught? And nursery workers aren't drained after they, and bus workers aren't drained after they've been on buses? It's no wonder we're kind of tired sometimes in the service, but that's okay. Because we're serving the Lord, and that takes energy. Number three, it'll take treasure. It's going to affect your budget. It takes treasure. It'll affect your budget. In 2 Samuel 24, the king wanted a spot on Mount Moriah to offer his sacrifice, and Araunah, who owned it, said, I'll just give it to you. And David said, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So he bought it all. Because he didn't want to give God something that he didn't have to pay for. A lot of folks want to come to church as long as it costs them nothing. Some spend more on sodas and tacos throughout a year than they invest in God's Word. They never squeeze serving the Lord into their budget anywhere. And folks, you've got to make it work. If you're going to be a serious Christian, you're going to be tithing and you're going to be giving the tithes and offerings. Well, I just can't afford it. Why not? Is God the one that signed you up to that car payment? Is God the one that signed you up your internet connection? Is God the one that signed up your satellite connection? Is God the one that said, hey, run up your credit card eating out 4 times a week? It's important that if we're going to be serious Christians, that we put God first in our finances. And by the way, you'll never lose out on that because God will bless you for being faithful. But it's going to cost you something. Every Christian ought to tithe. And every Christian ought to give to missions. Every Christian ought to tithe. Everyone ought to give to missions. I say you had to give $1,000 a month, but every Christian ought to give something to missions. I'm not going to offer God that which costs me nothing. So it costs us time, it costs us toil, it costs us treasure. It'll take temperance. It's going to affect your behavior. You have to deny yourself to be a good Christian. Jesus said, if you'll come after me, let any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, that's what people are not taught these days. We have kids, not our kids. I mean, kids, whatever you want, you can have. Just take it. Spoiled rotten. They have never been denied anything. It's like David's kids. It was said of Adonijah that David had never at any time displeased his son saying no. He'd never said no to the boy. And the boy was a rebel without a cause because he'd never been displeased. But Jesus said that if you're going to follow Him, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him. And that means you've got to live the Christian life. Means you've got to have some standards. You've got to have some convictions. You've got to abstain from the appearance of evil. You've got to live by biblical guidelines. You've got to live a decent, clean, wholesome, holy life so that you're not a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. You've got to control your attitude. You've got to control your tongue. You've got to control your behavior. You have to control how you live around others. You've got to control your actions. You've got to control your habits. You've got to break bad habits. All of these things are necessary to genuinely serve the Lord. We can't have someone coming in Sunday morning to teach Sunday school and they got beer breath. And then living in the world all week long, and then we come to church and teach Sunday school. But I have a pastor friend, he said one day one of his Sunday schools, he took a church over, and so one of his Sunday school teachers showed up drunk. And now he hadn't put the lady in charge, but the last pastor had. A Christian that wants to serve the Lord has got to live by some standards and live by some convictions and live a wholesome life and a holy life and a life that is not indulging in sin, but a life that is lived righteously and godly in this world. So temperance is going to affect your behavior. Number five, serving the Lord is going to bring trouble. It's going to affect your peace. That's why the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A few years back when the war broke out, can you believe the war's still going on? When the war broke out, there was a soldier who was on the news. He had enlisted during a time of peace. And then when they were ready to deploy him to Iraq, he said, I didn't know I was going to have to go to war. And it was all over the news that here's this guy, he enlisted in the army, but he never thought he was going to have to go to war and actually fight. Isn't that how we are sometimes as Christians? Well, I signed up at youth camp to serve the Lord. I filled out a decision card, but I didn't know I was going to have any trouble. I didn't know I'd have to fight any battles. I didn't know there'd be any difficulties. But every church in the New Testament had trouble. Persecution without, heresy within, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, false prophets, false apostles, violence, persecution, heretics, false doctrines, divisions, personal problems, contentions, issues, all of these things were marks of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. Well, I've heard, if we just get back to the book of Acts, we wouldn't have so much trouble in our churches. I said, are you kidding? Have you read the book of Acts? They had more trouble than we have now. Inside, outside, trouble all over the place. I gotta tell you though, when I first began pastoring, it did kind of catch me by surprise. Started a church and pastoring, I mean, it's not like people were already here and called me later, and then they didn't like me. It's like, I mean, you had to know who the pastor was when you joined, right? So you had to like me when you joined. It kind of caught me off guard that people would kind of be the way that they were sometimes. But you know, when you're serving the Lord, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be heartache, there's going to be disappointment. Well, I don't like to hear that, you know, a kid that's been riding our bus to Sunday school for 10 years or so is moving to Arlington. That's heartbreaking. That's disappointing. People will drop out of church, won't even say anything to you. People will, you know, you'll try to help someone on the bus route, and some teacher and the mom will chew you out for something stupid. You know, all kinds of things can go wrong. And if you're going to serve God, you just got to have a thicker skin and serve Him patiently and be willing to endure hardness in the Christian life. It takes time, it takes toil, it takes treasure, it takes temperance, it takes trouble. And then lastly, it's going to take tenderness. It's going to affect your heart. If some have compassion, making a difference. Let me ask you, stop tonight. Who do you care about?
Me!
Exactly. Me and my wife! Right. Who else? If you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to care about more than just whoever sits in your car. Who do you care about?
I don't care about anybody. I'm going to go and watch TV. I'm going to play video games.
Who do you care about? Does anyone matter to you? You want to serve the Lord? If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have a tender heart than that. You got to care about that little kid, and you got to care about that person, you got to care about that. If you're going to serve the Lord, you got to care. Of some have compassion making a difference. And if you don't care, you're not going to make a difference. You have to care about people. You know, the bus ministry is a pain in the neck. How hard we've worked to keep buses running, buying old buses that no one but Mexico wants. Keeping them running. Trying to get CDL drivers. People that'll visit. Knock doors. And then kids drop out, move off, get disinterested. There is no ministry more discouraging and yet no ministry more rewarding than the bus ministry. We see more people saved off the bus routes than any other way in our church. But there will come the day when our church cannot run buses anymore unless there are people willing to drive, people willing to knock doors, people willing to visit, and teachers willing to care about the kids. And one day the bus will get sold and we'll just sit around and say, oh, the good old days when we had bus ministry, back when we cared about people. We have to have tender hearts to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. You've got to take the disappointments and you've got to keep caring. You got to take the heartache and you're just going to have to keep putting your heart out there and let it get kicked again if that's what it takes. Because not everyone's going to kick your heart around. Some people are genuinely going to be affected by your concern and your compassion. Listen to what Paul said and I'll be finished. He told the Corinthians, the church that gave him the most trouble in all of his ministry. He said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so. Even so, I'm just going to keep on loving you, even though you love me less and less. I'm going to love you more and more. If you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to have a tender heart. And it's going to require that kind of tenderness in your heart.